Let's stand. We're going to read about 8 or 9 passages of scripture. You're not going to stand for the whole time, okay? I'll let you know that. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. We'll read this one verse. You can be seated. We'll pray, and then we'll read several other verses. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's pray. Father, bless us tonight in our time we have together. I pray you'd help us to get the thought, the encouragement behind the message tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Psalm chapter 27 and verse 4. Turn quickly. We're going to read a lot of verses and then I'll reference back to them. It's not one of these you can keep your finger in place unless you can put all 10 of your fingers in the Bible at one time. Then that would be great, okay? Psalm chapter 27, verse number 4. Psalm 27, verse number 4 says this. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Revelation chapter 3. We'll look at two passages in Revelation. Revelation chapter 3 tonight. Where do you get messages from? I like doing series. We're doing a series in Philippians. We'll start that back up in a little bit here. And we do things like that to teach through subjects. But sometimes I'll either be reading something or I'll hear a message and I'll get just one little thought in the message and maybe that'll get me thinking about something. But this one, I had a conversation with someone over the phone and we were talking about a certain subject. And after I got done with them, by the way, this was Thursday, so it kind of changed my whole. And after I was talking with them, I started thinking about that subject and thoughts came to my mind I thought that would be helpful for the church. And so that's kind of how it happened. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. It says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Revelation chapter 2, one chapter back. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that beholdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patient, and for thy name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Matthew chapter 22, please. Matthew chapter 22. I should have put these in better order. We're skipping all over the Bible. We should have a Bible sword. I'd give you a piece of candy, the first one to get there, right? Okay? Tell you what, we're going to do that on the next one. Are you ready? Okay, well, not this one. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On the two commandments hang all the law and prophets. Okay? First one to get here, stand up. Matthew chapter 13, verse 18. First one to get there, stand up. Alvaro, really? First word. Here. You can be seated, okay? Thank you. Matthew 13, verse 18. Hear ye the word of the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receives seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Okay? Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Stand up and when you get there. Brother Rawl, first word. Yes, lay down. Have a seat. Thank you. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. As you're sitting there, I'm going to read two verses to save us a little time. In Psalm chapter 42 and verse 1, as the hart panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before thee? Matthew chapter 6, did I say verse 19? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Okay, two more. Ready? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Yell if I don't see you. Dave Lucero. 5, okay? You may be seated. You golf, that's what you always say when you golf, right? All righty. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And then the last one is this. Psalm chapter 95, verse 1. Stand. And you read the whole first verse. Psalm chapter 95, verse 1. You got to, Mora. Okay, go ahead. Obey that verse right now. Stand up and sing. Just kidding. Verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. In his hand are deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands form the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Now, you read all those verses, you say, what do they all have in common? That's about it. Yes, okay. We'll find out. They're going to share some principles that are going to help us with the subject we have at hand tonight. And please listen. I think this is very important. So I had the conversation. I realized that what we're going to talk about happens in a lot of people's lives. And I was just thinking it through. Why does it happen? And now I'm acting like my wife. She tells me what's going on before she actually told me what the situation is so that I don't understand what she's talking about. And that's what I'm doing to you right now. You'll figure out the subject in a section. This morning, of course, we took our building offering. I'm thankful for a giving church. I'm thankful that our church sacrifices and gives. We gave for the building that is for others, but it's also for ourselves. It's for both of us. It's for people that will be reached. Those we're going after, those that will be changed, and those that will go out maybe one day and after they are reached and make a difference in someone else's life. But the building is also a meeting place of the church where we hold church services, where we meet together like we're meeting together tonight, where we do this on Sunday morning for Sunday school. We do it Sunday morning service. We do Sunday night service. We do Thursday night service. It's the meeting place of the church. I often think as a staff, as we work during the week, there's many, many responsibilities we have and many things we do. But to be honest with you, everything we're doing and all of our responsibilities are ultimately pointing to the most important thing this church does, and it's our Sunday meetings. It's when we are meeting together as a church. You say, well, what about going and reaching the lost? That all stems from us being together in here tonight. And so it's very important. This is a foundational thing. We just did a little Sunday morning series on I love church because I do love church. I always have loved church. God loves the church. He loves the people in it. God loves the fact that we meet together for him. So I look back over my life, much of my growth experience, it had its genesis in the fact that I was in church services and learning. And I know the Bible, we get into the Bible, but even that was motivated by things I was learning and being encouraged to do while I was in church. I think Christians ought to be excited about coming to church. I think if we're not careful, we lose that excitement. We've all been there. We ought to have an excitement that says, when there's a church service going on, I want to be there. When there's something happening, I want to be in the services. A lot of what I do, you're the Sunday night crowd. A lot of what we do on Sunday mornings when we have many of the newer people here, what we're trying to do is help them to grow in their faith and get saved and trust Christ and then help them to come to more of the services so they can be more a part of what's going on in our church and that they will also be more excited about church. But like anything, if we're not careful, we can get cold. We just start to put in our time. I'm at church because I'm supposed to be at church. We see it as nothing more than a joyless duty. We come in dead, we leave dead. We get used to it. You know, we come here and it's like, I don't know if there's no basketball game on today, but you know, what's going on after church and all that type of thing. We just can't wait till it's over if we're not careful. We read many verses tonight. What do they have in common? Well, these verses help us to understand some things we need to know so we can stay excited about being at church. God wants us to stay excited about being in church. I don't know about you. I'm the kind of person, I don't like wasting my time. If something's not profitable, if something's not good, it's like, I don't want to be a part of it. If it's just some dead exercise that has nothing to do with anything, why be a part of it? And what I don't want that to be the testimony for you being at church. We ought to enjoy church. I think that we can lose our excitement. Yes, new attenders sometimes lose their excitement. It's also for people that are longtime attenders. It's also people that are members. It's also for people that serve in the ministries around here. It's for staff members, and it's for myself. We need to stay excited about church. It's just dead and it's dry. No, let's not be dead and dry. The verses in Revelation that we read out of the many verses we read were written to a church. Yes, I understand to the individuals in the church, and yes, it applies to us individually, but you understand, he was writing to a church. And there was a kind of a flavor in these churches, and there was certain things in those churches. In Revelation chapters 3 of this church, he said, "So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'll spew you out of thy mouth." You know what lukewarm is? It's not hot. It's not cold. It's just in the middle. It's not hot like a Christian that's excited about God and excited about church, but it's not cold for a Christian who's against God or against church. It's for those like in the middle. Jesus says, I don't like that. It makes me, literally, he says, that makes me sick. By the way, that's a bad place to be. I don't want any of us to be there tonight. In Revelation 2, verse 4, he says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee," again, written to the church, "because thou hast left thy first love." We lose that excitement of something that we've once discovered. And the first time we discovered it, we fell in love with it, and it's the greatest thing in the world. I think a lot about marriages because this can happen in marriages. You know, when you first met, if you're a guy and you first met that girl, it's like, wow. She is unbelievable. She's the most beautiful thing I ever saw. And she's sweet. And you couldn't wait to be with her. And when you had to go home after courting, look, I'm not going to pick on anybody tonight, you know, but Brother Fisher did. Nick and Hannah, you know. Eventually one day, the Lord doesn't come soon, which he probably is, so you might as well just forget it. But, you're in that first love. Brian and Erica. Who else is getting married? Right here. You know, you get married and now we don't have to part at night. We're together all the time. It's what I always wanted. Come see me in 2 years. Things change. I get it. And you don't have that gushy, I just met you type of love, but you should have a deeper type of love. And you know, you don't always run home like, I can't wait to run home and hug my wife and all that stuff. Fact of the matter is, I probably don't think about her very much on the ride home because I'm cutting people off in traffic and trying to win the race. But you know, when I get home, I'm glad to see her and I still love her. If you're not careful, you lose that. And you lose it in anything. By the way, you'll lose it in church. He says, don't lose that. I got news for you today. God wants you and I to be excited about being in church. But if he does, why is it so often that we lose that excitement? Here's a key. I want you to get this. Listen to this, and then we can go home. Just kidding. Church is a part of the whole Christian experience. Why is that a big deal? If we are not excited about the other parts of Christianity, we will not be excited about church. Okay? For instance, if you got me tickets to, say, a hockey game, You can't do that now because both of our teams got beat early in the playoffs. I'd be in, and I'd understand it, and we would have a good time. Remember one time Steven got me tickets. Him and I went to a game. We had great seats, and there was this one guy on another team, and, man, he was playing great, and he was rough. Hockey's a rough sport. And I told Steve, I said, man, that guy's got a bad attitude. I like him. Because hockey, that's how it is. Now, the other day, it was a while that my sons were going to, someone got tickets to the Galaxy and said, hey, Dad, you want to go? I'm like, absolutely not. Not against soccer, but listen, if I went there, I'm like, I'd probably want to just drink. You know, I'm actually kidding. It's like, I don't understand soccer. It's like, how come no one touched the guy and he fell down? And he acts like he got shot. And then 2 minutes later, he hops up and he's the fastest guy in the field. Hockey players, they break their leg and they go out for one shift and they come back with duct tape and it's like, I'm good. Okay, so I don't get soccer at all. I wouldn't enjoy it. That's kind of the Christian experience. Church is part of the whole experience, and if you're not getting the whole thing, then you are missing it out. You're going to miss church. You're going to miss that excitement. Church is not separate. Well, my Christian life is great, but I'm not excited about church. No, they all go together. They all go together. So, briefly tonight, I'm going to give you some things that can help you to stay excited about church. If some of the things I'm going to mention tonight are not working in your life, that's probably why you're not excited about church, because these parts all go together. Let me mention some of them to you. How can I stay excited about church? Number one, have a time with God. Have a time with God. By the way, church, we have a great time together. Church, we sing, we'll joke around a little bit, we learn God's word, we give, we get all that stuff. But you know, spending time, we're here to spend some time with God. We're here to hope God meets with us. But how can we be excited about coming to church and meeting with God if I'm not meeting with him when I'm outside of church? So you'll come to church and say, I don't like church and I don't like what's going on there. Well, it's because you're not spending time with God. And those two things are the same thing. And so I'm not excited about that. Of course you're not going to be excited about this. That was the verse in Psalm 50:42. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee. Verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Listen, if you can't wait each day to read your Bible and spend time with God, can I just tell you something? You're not going to have a problem wanting to come to church and be with God's people and sing the praises of our Lord. You're not going to have a problem with that. And I encourage you tonight, spend time with God. With our theme this year, we've emphasized, of course, they forgot to put the banners up. Joseph, thanks. But no, they forgot to put the banners up. But if you look at where the imaginary banner is, what does it say? It would say, explore the book. That's our theme. Get into the Word of God. That's very important. Coming to church cannot overcome our need to spend time alone with God. In fact, it affects our experience about coming to church and spending time with God. Do you want to get more out of the church service? Spend some more time with God. Now, the opposite is also true. Some use their, well, you know, I don't need to come to church because I got this thing with God and I'm reading my Bible. Listen, reading your Bible and praying isn't going to drive you away from church. It's going to drive you to God's people into church. The two go hand in hand. It's not scriptural to say I don't need church. There's nowhere in the Bible you're going to find that. Look as much as you would. And also, not just the Bible and prayer. It's kind of easy to be excited about church if you're praying for the church services. It's kind of easy to be excited about the offering Sunday if you've been praying about the offering Sunday. It's not too hard to be excited about coming to church and meeting and seeing God's people if you've been praying for some of the needs of God's people. It's not too hard to listen to a message and see, God, do you have something there for me, when you're praying for God to use his word on a daily basis to change you. So we need to spend time with God if we're going to stay excited about church. Number two, we also need to have a purpose in ministry if we're going to stay excited in church. You see, we read the verses in Ephesians where it talks about salvation is by faith through grace, not of ourselves. The very next verse after salvation says, for we are his workmanship, new product, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's amazing that right after the verses on salvation, God says, now that you're saved, I've created you to serve me and to do good works. So therefore, if I'm not doing good works, I'm not fulfilling that for which God has saved me, and I'm not going to be excited about his work. And where do we do good works for the Lord? We do it through ministry in his church. You got to have a purpose in ministry. Titus says, verse 14 of Titus chapter 2, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. That's a good thing. And purify unto himself a peculiar people. Okay, not peculiar in the way Raul is. Actually, both Rauls, anyhow. Zealous of good works. Man, excited about doing something for the Lord. He saved us and changes us so that we can be zealous of good works. Hey, I'll tell you why maybe some of us struggle with our excitement for church, because we just come and sit. We don't do anything. My testimony as a new Christian, I was just in church and I was growing in my faith. I didn't know anything, never been to church in my life, and I just came and I soaked it up for 6 months, and then it was time to get involved. And can I just tell you something? When I started getting involved in ministry, my love and my excitement for church grew. And I was already excited about being there. But it grew. I had a little bit more of a purpose. Why? Because I was fulfilling that purpose in Ephesians that I was created unto good works, that God's ordained that we walk in them. Involvement breeds excitement. When I was younger, I used to love baseball. I don't really care anymore. But I used to love baseball, the Dodgers and the Angels. And when we were kids, we'd play baseball, and I had that connection. I don't really care now, but I'll tell you when I like baseball. It's a lot funner to be involved. For about 7 or 8 years, I was on our Friday night church softball team. I enjoyed that. Even though Brother Lucero was a horrible pitcher, I enjoyed that. He's a good pitcher. We had a great time, but I'll tell you what, I enjoyed more playing than sitting there watching them. 30 seconds, like, brother, throw the ball already. The grass is growing, okay? The sprinkler's going to come on. Something's more exciting when you're actually involved with it. Why don't we get involved here? We have so many opportunities. We have outreach opportunities. We come here and we go out. We go out on Tuesday nights. By the way, I encourage you to stay faithful to that. Now, I have two more Tuesday nights, and then we're off for about a month as we prepare for our huge summer saturation. Maybe it's helping your class on Saturday by coming out, being faithful to that. How about the bus ministry? Being a driver. They're paying me to try to do that. Being a bus driver. You say, by the way, that doesn't sound very exciting. Let me just tell you this. It's not. Okay. Other than you're serving God. We need bus drivers. Bus workers. Maybe that's your niche and you get on that bus route and you're helping. I remember when I got on the bus route my first Sunday. I hated it. I didn't go back. That's back before we had load limits. We had a 60-passenger bus, 120 kids on that thing. Was animal control. I hated it. But boy, God started working on my heart. Pretty soon, next thing you know, I'm out visiting. The bus captain's always busy, and I'm visiting. And I'm picking him up on Sunday. I loved it. It's the greatest thing in all the world. We have a music ministry. By the way, I love the orchestra. Let me say this. If you play any kind of instrument and you haven't played in a while, I would encourage you, pick that thing up and start practicing. Get that thing in. The orchestra's fantastic. By the way, we're going to have room for more people in that orchestra. I'd like to have Brother Panetta say, you know what? We need to put some more chairs right there. It's just great. Maybe you can, if I could sing, I'd be in the choir. I'd be right there. I was there before. Could you sing? Nope. I hit out very well. But you know what? The choir's a big deal, Brother Bichardo. God likes to hear music. Singing praises to him. We have a great choir and it's grown and the orchestra's growing. Hey, if you have any type of musical ability, I encourage you, get involved. So I play an electric guitar. Sweet, dude. Just kidding. We have classes and clubs, Sunday school and patch for the children. Hey, we're trying to beef up the First Touch ministry. We're trying to have parking guards because I think it portrays excellence. It just helps us, and it's a safety, and we need guys here or there, and Brother Pichardo's getting it going. Listen, if I wasn't the pastor here, I didn't have a Sunday school class, I would do some type of job like that. That doesn't bother me. I could very easily stand out here because I would have a great time and push people in and how are you doing and have a great day. I would love that. Now, if you have the personality of a dial tone, that's not for you. Okay? Some people, you don't like to talk to people. Don't ask to be a greeter. Okay? Do something different. But man, that's important, greeting and making people feel welcome. We have all kinds of things here. Ushers. Got to have somebody to yell at. No, I don't yell at the ushers. They do a great job. The nursery. That might be the most important classes in the whole church. People are concerned about their little ones when they bring them. And boy, they meet a nice nursery worker over there. It's taking care of their child. That makes them feel comfortable when they're in the service. Volunteers. Hey, maybe you don't have a job or maybe you're just kind of retired or whatever and you have free hours. Maybe I would volunteer. So I'll come down here on Monday and I'll vacuum for you. Or I'll do this or I'll volunteer to whatever. But let's get involved. When you're involved in ministry, you're excited about what's going on here. Next, how else can we stay excited about church? We have to have a heart that listens. In the verses we read in Matthew, it's the parable of the sower. They sow the seeds, and the seeds are the seed stands for the word of God, and the ground is the heart. And then he talks about the different ways that the seed, the different types of fruit it produces or doesn't produce based on the condition of the heart. But the good heart, it says this, Matthew 13:23. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Why is it that a bunch of people can come to church and they can hear the same message and one person says, that helped me. That spoke to something in my life and that encouraged me. And the other person can say, what are we having for dinner? And by the way, what are you having for dinner is important. I get that. All right, but it didn't have any effect in your heart at all? Well, what, it was the same message. What's different? The heart. One had a heart and said, I'm going to get here and listen to what God has. Say, well, you're not the best speaker in the world. You're not the best listener. So there. Okay. Well, it's just where I am right now. But I'll tell you what, when the scripture is being put forth, God can do something in your heart. You know how Charles Spurgeon got saved? Probably, he's called the Prince of Preachers. When he was 19, he pastored a church of 5,000. Dynamic. Many years. Metropolitan Baptist Tabernacle was a Baptist tabernacle in London. You know how he got saved? He wasn't a Christian. He was traveling somewhere in a snowstorm on a Sunday. The snowstorm was so bad he needed to find a place to get out of the snow, so he went into a little, I think it was a Methodist church, to get out of the snow. Just so happened it was Sunday. It was service time. The snowstorm was so bad, the pastor didn't make it. So they just nominated a layman to get up. Spurgeon said it was pretty obvious he didn't want to be up there. And it was pretty obvious he was not prepared to be up there. And he got a verse. Look unto me, all you saved, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And he said he just kept reading the verse, and he'd make a couple comments and read the verse, and it said he wasn't up there very long, and he was ready to sit down. And then he said right before he sat down, there wasn't many people there, but he noticed Spurgeon was a visitor, and said, son, you look miserable. And he said, you always will be miserable for now and eternity if you don't look unto him and be saved. And that's all it took, and it lodged in his heart, and he got saved that day. Was it the great dynamic preacher? Nope, it was the word of God that went forth. Listen, you ought to be able to get something in your heart from the word of God. So, well, that's your responsibility. I know. I take it seriously. But it's everybody's responsibility to have a heart that's willing to receive God's truth, whether it's being preached up here or in your Sunday school class or whether you're reading it at your house. Do you have a heart that listens? Do you have an open heart? If you do, you'll be excited about church. That's too bad. Number four, have a love for others. We read the verses there of the greatest commands. That was our theme several years ago. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know what? If you love other people, if you love God's people, you want to be at church. Hebrews, the verse we read in Hebrews, that we always, oh, you're just reading that because that's the only verse you have on church attendance. No, there's other verses, but I like what this verse says at the end. Not forsaking to assemble yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. See, the only exhortation you get in church shouldn't just come when I'm up behind the pulpit. That can come as you interact with one another. See, we're a family in essence. We're a spiritual family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to see church as a place, not where we just show up right at 5 o'clock on Sunday night or right at 9:30 or most people, 9:40 on Sunday mornings. And then as soon as we say amen, you're out of here. You ought to want to be here and maybe be around God's people just a little bit. I know a lot of pastors, and I know some of them have to do it because stuff weighs on their mind. I just have this, you can come tell me, like, you know, right before I'm really getting up to preach, Brother Russell will lean over and say, you know, my wife tried to shoot me last night. And I'll just lean over and say, I'm on her side. You know, she tried to kill me last night. I'm like, you know what, talk to me after the service. But I'm going to be able to block that out of my mind because really I am on her side. But so when I come, I like to be here and talk to people. I like to just see the church people. I come early. That's one reason I have a Sunday school class. I always have a Sunday school class. I enjoy having a Sunday school class. Why? I just like the people of the Sunday school class. Most of them. I like just hanging out here and talking with them and walking through the hallways and going down through the other classes and stuff. I like being around God's people. And after church, talking for a little while. I come on Thursdays, and I come a little early, and in the hallways and out here. I enjoy it. That's another reason I'm pretty excited about being here. It's all part of a package deal. By the way, when you maybe you've had a rough day, and you've been beat down a little bit, and you come to church, you know there's people there that are for you. People there that are going to encourage you. Or think of it this way. Say, well, no one's going to encourage me. Then why don't we think of it this way? Why don't I come and encourage people? That's what God wants us to do. And if we love others, we're going to be excited about being here. Part of coming is interacting with God's people. By the way, let's really work at that. Those of us that have been here for a while, when we see new people coming, particularly on Sunday mornings, but they come on Sunday night, they come on Thursday night, hey, let's really just buddy up with them. Let's really just, wow, I'm excited you're here. You have somewhere to sit? Why don't you sit with us? Let's make them feel comfortable. I'll tell you what, that'll add excitement to what you're doing. That'll add excitement to being at church. Next, how to be excited about church. Let's have a desire to worship. We saw that in Psalm chapter 95. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. I sit right here and I hear the choir sing. This is the joyful noise section right here. Okay? Just kidding. If you all sing loud enough, you can't tell who's off key. Amen? No, they're all okay. They're on key. I get it. Let's sing to the Lord. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Oh, come let us worship the Lord and bow down. You know what worship is? It's ascribing worth to God. Saying, God, you're important. God, you're kind of a big deal. God, you are it in my life. And part of coming to church is saying, Lord, you have the priority in my life. And by the way, when we sing, and I know sometimes we get used to the words, but we ought to think about them sometimes. They are good words. We ought to think about what's going on. We ought to sing to the Lord. When someone is up here singing, and let's listen to them. They're doing a great job. And by the way, the words can be an encouragement to us. It's all important. By the way, singing influences your life. If you're listening to garbage music, you're going to have a garbage mind. You are not going to pick up your Bible. We'll just go ahead and park here for a minute. If I'm listening to rap music, I'm not going to open my Bible and be excited about what God's saying. Because I'm thinking about killing a cop or using a lady's restroom. Whatever garbage is in those songs. I'm not going to think about that kind of stuff. Look, that's where I was. I told you before, I came to church and I was a rock and roll kind of guy. And the church music was like, no. But the rock music was no also. But once I got the noise of the rock music out of my system, you know what happened? I liked the church music. I'm like, that's good. It caused even more excitement about being at church. Let's worship God. Let's give God the priority in my life. Let's give God the praise in my life. By the way, when we give to the Lord, that's just not, okay, I did my giving to the building. Hey, thank you. By the way, if you weren't able to yet, you still can. The doors are still open for another 48 hours. Just go online and give. You can give next week or the week after. Fact of the matter is, if someone gives you $10,000 6 months from now and you want to give $5,000, God will forgive you for that. Just do it. Okay? But you know, when I'm giving to the Lord, I'm not just giving to the building. What I'm saying is, Lord, your work's important. What you're trying to accomplish is important. And this is one way I can say, Lord, you have the priority in my life. And I'm giving to him. Thank you for doing that. What's another way we can stay excited about church? Two more and we're done. Have a life that matches. We talked about the good heart, right? Seed brings forth fruit 160, 30-fold. But you know the other three hearts? They didn't bring forth anything. Oh, some brought forth for a while and then, you know, it didn't work. Some landed on rocky ground and never took root. Why? Their hearts, the life they were living, kind of hardened their heart to what God wanted to do in their life. Can I just tell you something? If everything I do when I'm outside of this church is the opposite of God, or what God wants me to do, is it any wonder when I come to church I'm not excited about it? Because you're probably going to hear things that are like against what's going on in your life. And by the way, to a certain extent, we all are going to. Unless you're perfect. Is there anybody here perfect? Anybody? Halfway? You're a glass half empty kind of guy, though. Okay? No. If you're not perfect, we're always going to hear something. Say, well, you're preaching at it. I know. That's what the speakers are aimed at you, but there's three aimed at me. Okay? It's for all of us. But when the whole direction of my life is my own thing and it's not what God, and I don't wake up and think, what would God want me to do today? How can I be a blessing to someone today? What would God want me to do in my life? Of course, when you come to church, you're going to struggle with that. I'm not saying you should be perfect. I'm saying, let's just make our direction trying to go the way that God wants us to do. Let's do what we can. See, church is a spiritual thing. And it's for people that want to be spiritual or desire to go in that direction. And so if we're going in that direction, or to the extent that we're going in that direction, is the extent that we're going to be excited about what God is doing. And then the last thing is this. As soon as I say this, you're going to say, I knew you were going to say it. It's Offering Sunday. Well, amen. Have a commitment to give. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you were a guy and you were courting your wife at one time, and if she's your wife, I'm going to assume that you were courting her at one time. There was a time when you liked her and you started being interested, and then there's a time you started investing in her. In other words, now she was costing you money. Now, I'll never understand this. Ladies like dead vegetation. They like flowers. By the way, fellas, if you like flowers, what's wrong with you? You know, wedding, you have to put the little flower on. It's like, that's okay, as soon as the wedding's over, I don't like flowers. But they're so pretty. You have issues. But anyhow, they like flowers. Now, to guys, flowers are a waste. You've already killed them. They've been severed. It's like cutting off somebody's head and giving them somebody's head. They're dead. It's not going to get better from there. It's going to get worse. But they like that, right? By the way, you know one thing I love about my wife? She doesn't like the fancy flowers. Her favorite flowers, believe it or not, are from Costco. And as long as their bathrooms are okay, I'll keep getting them. Like $15. But if she liked the more expensive ones, she'd get the ones from Costco. She goes to Costco, she likes the flowers. You know what I like? I like the hot dogs. I don't know, if they're just good. Anyhow, it's getting late. No, the pizza is a little bit too much for me. The hot dog's like, nah. You even get a free drink. And that's of the Lord. Gift of God. But as you start giving more of yourself to that person you're courting, and you start investing in that person, you know what happens? You're more invested in them. We are invested in what we invest in. See? When we give to something, we're in. Where our treasure is, that's where our heart is also. If our treasure is in stocks, there's nothing wrong with owning some stocks. But you're interested in those stocks, right? It's like, man, you hear the Dow Jones dove or the NASDAQ went down, you're going to jump on that right away and say, how did my stock do? I understand that. Why? You're vested. I'll tell you what, when you are giving to the church, when you're in on the church, you're invested in the church. See, some people, I'll do everything, but I won't give. Well, that's, by the way, it's between you and God. Now, it's not scriptural. I'm just going to be honest with you. That's my job, right? You don't want me to get up here and lie, do you? Okay, then I won't. But when we give, we're invested. We're invested. I'll tell you who's more excited about that building today than yesterday, those that were able to give to the building. And by the way, I'm not even saying an amount. Whatever that amount was for you, if you invested in that building, you have a little more interest in that building, don't you? God wants to do great things, but he needs money to do that. And thank you for being faithful, by the way. You're faithful in your tithes and offerings. Thank you for that. That helps us here, but it also shows that you love the Lord and you're invested in, and you're going to be more invested in what's happening in this church. You read those missionary letters, or you get the letters from whoever, you see them in the hallway or on Thursday night in the bulletin or up here. Those that give to missions, you're more invested in what's happening over there because you're investing. By the way, the same could be true of time. Let me just ask you a question tonight. How excited are you about church? How excited? You know, and by the way, sometimes we just go through things in life, and it's so easy to put things on autopilot, right? Even ministry, you could be doing some of these things, and you could be putting it on autopilot. But let's think about what we're doing if that's happening. But how excited are you about church tonight? Maybe one of these areas of your life are a little bit off. And I want you to be at church. Don't get me wrong. If people aren't here, I like to visit them for my class and how are you doing? We missed you and that type of thing. But when you come, I want you to be excited about what's going on. I want you to love to be with God's people. I want you to love to do something. I want you to love what's going on in the service and really be excited about it. Maybe it's one of these things that you're struggling with tonight. And maybe if you would adjust that, your excitement level would either come back or it would grow. Let's all stand together tonight.